This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm not going to say anything from that.
Malik?
Here.
Block?
Present.
Breeden?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Chopra?
Here.
Desai?
Absent.
Desai?
Late.
Adam Gitlin?
Here.
Ross Gitlin?
Here.
Goldberg?
Here.
Gurjani?
Present.
Hoffman?
Here.
Kay? Kerr?
Here.
Lee?
Here.
Miller? Meller? Mueller?
Here.
Muir?
Here.
Nicoletti?
Here.
Pinkney?
Here.
Raff?
Here.
Rao?
Yes.
Galfo? Smith?
Here.
Zolman?
Here.
Kapitan?
Here.
Wolford?
Here.
Yatarian?
Here.
Robert and Santangelo.
Moving on to the next section, announcements and reports.
I can talk about it. Kyle has a couple in the right. I don't know if we formally need to endorse this or decide in this body, but like, it's concise. Great work, Representative Mueller.
All right, Representative Goldberg.
My only suggestion is that where it says that MVP applies, the smallest part of it, in my opinion, should be one of the largest parts of it. I know it's all not someone when someone is in danger of being hurt, but the point is that you won't get in trouble for it, and that would be the only thing that you can do.
Representative
Hoffman.
First is the appropriation committee recommendation for public hearing.
appropriations committee met with and recommended funding for two groups on Monday. One of those groups was Club Insurance. So Club Insurance offers insurance to SAO registered student organizations, and it protects against a number of things like catastrophic events, if someone breaks their leg, or if someone wants to use a coronary name, etc. so forth. So risk management tells us that when we increase in premiums, we have to pay 40 cents more per student, and that increase is shared with graduate students as well. So the appropriations committee recommended $5.10, 5011000. The university shares some of the burden of the insurance program with us as well.
Call the question.
Sorry, I'm looking at Adam. Sorry, Nicoletti.
Can you explain why the committee felt that web development software and like other programming costs were not essential for a meeting group?
Let me clarify. We didn't think that web programming was not, or web software wasn't the part that was troubling us. It was funding a $2,000 salary for students to come in and design. And members of the committee felt that social media groups should look for other ways to get students to contribute to its website without financial contribution and compensation.
Hey, thanks for coming out. I have two questions. First, I just want to know what kind of readership are you getting on your website? You know, what are the numbers? How many people are coming? How many people are viewing your program? And also, I just wanted a little more explanation about what you guys are trying to get out of filing funding, because I know Adam has talked about you guys don't purchase goods. So would this be something that you need filing funding just to get the money on the next 2 years, or is this something that you need the money for the foreseeable future?
Hi, I'm Ariella. I'm the president of Slow Media Group at the Missouri Education Center. Okay, so first, some web analytics. This past year, we had 47,700 visits to the website, 165 page views. We had visitors from over 130 countries that averages 200 visits per day. Last year, over 50% of our visitors were unique visitors, and that past school year saw over a 20% increase in total visits and daily visits. So our website is definitely improving, and that's just a snapshot of how many visits we get per day, and I think we're definitely seeing a lot more views. And as for what we're trying to get out of guideline funding, and I apologize to the people who've heard this rationale a lot of times. Right now, Slow Media Group is severely limited in FASC funding and dues from members. FASC has a lot of restrictions, specifically hardware and software, that doesn't allow us to buy things with the organization that make our growth and continuity like what's necessary for the organization. All of our software is outdated, and we just can't get the funding for it, and the money that we do get from dues is even less, and would definitely not cover that cost. And it also bars a lot of people from joining in the first place. So we're really looking to make the switch to guideline funding so that we can allocate the resources that we get in the most beneficial way towards the items that we need that would really allow us not only to survive, but to grow to be an even larger organization. And what I think even more is why we want to switch to guideline funding is, I think it goes back to the whole purpose. Oh, sorry. 20 more times. Okay. The whole purpose of guideline funding, which is to provide for the entire Cornell campus community. So Slow Media Group wants to fill that void for students who aren't getting hands-on experience in the comm department or the film department, let people know what's going on campus, allow student organizations to use our equipment, use our website as a platform to get themselves out, promote their creativity, promote their organization, and let the Cornell community what's going on.
Great.
Okay.
All right. We're going to hear from our participation number, and you guys can also feel free to come up whenever.
There are a lot of people here. The Washington State Conference 2013. So you have 2 minutes to make your show. And please, speak into the mic.
Okay.
So I just want to let everyone know that I'm here to voice the concern of a friend of mine who wrote this letter, and I'm reading it now to the campus president and the student again. So members of the student assembly, I'm writing to you regarding my concerns about the proposed allocation of byline funding for the Slow Media Group. It is my understanding that only a select group of 29 organizations receive byline funding, avoiding the FASC appropriations process altogether. These organizations are given this direct funding because they directly and primarily serve slash benefit the entire Cornell community. Reviewing the list of current student organizations receiving byline funding, it is obvious that each of these groups meet the specified end. Current byline funded organizations include Cornell EMS, Cornell Minds Matter, EARS, the Orientation Steering Committee, and Slow State Program Board. Any student or faculty member familiar with the university would immediately recognize these groups as providing important, if not essential, services to the university. The Slow Media Group, on the other hand, does not render such service to a majority or even a significant minority of students and should not be awarded byline funding. Slow Media Group's eligibility for byline funding has been justified by the statement, the educational aspect of the organization was particularly appealing as the university has no hands-on undergraduate journalism and media programs. The committee felt that Flow Media addresses an unmet demand for media experience and programming on campus. However, the content produced by Flow Media Group reaches very few students and faculty, and almost no members of the community. Additionally, the demand for a hands-on undergraduate journalism experience and programming experience is already being met by multiple organizations. Both the Cornell Daily Sun and the Cornell Radio Guild have been student journalism organizations for 75 years. The Cornell Radio Guild, in particular, provides many of the hands-on experiences in the broadcast student assembly hopes to encourage by offering byline funding to Flow Media Group, and does so with more consistency and professionalism. With an FM signal as well as the capability to stream online, Cornell Radio Guild's radio station, WDBR-FM, has provided round-the-clock programming which features news and sports and a variety of music reachable to Cornell's campus and the Compton County area. In addition to on-air training, Cornell Radio Guild also provides students with the opportunity to maintain broadcast equipment, meet the FCC standards, and learn how to operate a business specialized in communication media.
Okay,
coming off.
Motion, you suggest motion to extend.
While the presence of similar student organizations should not be a reason for eliminating Flow Media Group or even blocking its funding altogether, it certainly undoes the notion that Flow Media Group is meeting a demand which benefits the university and the student body as a whole, and that the need is great to allow the organization to receive funds directly rather than through the SAFC. Moreover, allowing Flow Media Group funding seems to be an antithetical to the observable trend in 29 current byline-funded organizations. No media organization is present among these. Not the Cornell Daily Sun, not the Cornell Progressive, and not the Cornell Review. Even academic student publications such as the Triple Helix, which directly further the intellectual mission of the student body and the university as a whole, do not appear on the list. Flow Media Group, an organization which reaches a small percentage of the university, does not possess an SAT license, and does not provide round-the-clock programming or widely accessible content. It should not be the first media organization to receive byline funding. I strongly urge members of the student assembly to reconsider their stance on offering direct funding to Flow Media Group and reallocating funds to areas more accessible to the general student body. Thank you for your time and daily initiative. If I just add one more comment of my own, we're not here to say that Flow Media needs to be dissolved or anything like that. We just think that $15K per year, which is what it comes out to, is just a little inappropriate.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, moving on to the next speaker, the assembly representative, Mr. Tyson. Please, if you guys don't have a phone yet, but you haven't been able to raise your hand, say your name.
Sorry,
I'm
this is a presentation. Can we go over the reasoning for the different levels of ODA? Because what I remember, 135 was the difference between 150 based on the employee amount and how much you would get for the employee. And then I don't remember what was the 135. If we can go over that, that would be better.
Sure. $1.50 was Flow Media's original request. $1.45 was Flow Media's budget without the $2,000 going towards web development for the students. And then the extra 10 cents was meant to take away from some of the general loading in the budget. So there wasn't one specific area where we could say, let's take away all of marketing or all of verbal goods or all of this or that. But it seems each category has been kind of stuffed with additional funding where we felt they didn't need it. So taking off 10 cents would allow them to more easily focus on what was core to their operations. A lot of people said that marketing was definitely overfunded as well as some of the capital expenditures. I just will add that student assembly members, I know the gentleman's getting off, but anyone who'd like to look at the budget currently throughout this discussion, you can find Flow Media Packet on cornellsa.com/funding.
Otherwise, I'm going to go to the next speaker. Okay, we'll do that. Next is Julia Buck.
very carefully with the constraints of funding. NOAA already identified that there are two other organizations on campus that can provide media and journalism outlets for students, so I don't think that's very fair reasoning for coaches to say that they deserve this funding. And also, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you listen to Silk Radio regularly, or do the Boston Silk Radio website? Do you? Anyone? Okay.
Some of you?
Well, I have used their viral proposal, which states that the social media's website receives 300 communications per day from only 200 unique visitors. That's approximately 1.5% of the math rate of the Cornell undergraduate. And if there are 100 students on staff, that leaves 100 other people who might check it. We're assuming that the staff members also check their own website daily. However, according to the daily sound rate, more than 57% of students read the sound on the news checks per week. So, not according to the Slovenian statistics, not many people are on the website. They also request filing funding so that they can make videos for other student organizations. The videos that are supposed to exist for these student groups do not serve the entire student body. They only serve the student groups that want them. And filing funding should not provide platforms that only select few people. Their proposed budget for 2011 through 2014 includes an annual $400 Yahoo rent for members. This is in addition to a $300 barbecue for members. While I think that social events and fostering sense of community is good in a large organization, I do not believe that the rest of Cornell student body should have to pay for it. Cornell Lives Matters spent $100 in social expenses in the 2009-2010 school year, and Capitol had no social funds, and most of the other things that applied had small social funds, if any. Their proposed budget also includes a $2,000 salary for 2 for 20 minutes. Okay. So I'm not trying to say that the other media groups deserve funding and that they should get funding. I'm simply asking you to reevaluate the reasons for how we've been funding so media would directly environmentally serve the Cornell community if they're only reaching 2% of the Cornell fans and are spending in case that they're concerned their social aspect. They can do a lot of money. So maybe I'd like to respond, and I think I have a minute.
Yes, I would. Sorry, I thought that was going to be one, I just wanted everyone, just something to keep in mind, so media group is only 5 years old. So a lot of statistics, I think, we still have a lot of room to grow. 5 years is very young for an organization. And again, one of the main reasons that we are looking to switch to violent funding is to see a lot of improvement, see a lot of growth. And if we were able to switch to violent funding, our organization would be open to every single Cornell student. It would be for the benefit of every single Cornell student. Our equipment would be open to every single student organization. It would not be for select groups or the ones, particularly the ones who come to us. The only reason we make those videos is it's the only ones who come to us, and we don't have the resources. We're not allowed to give our cameras to every single student organization that wants to make a video as much as we'd like to. But with violent funding, that would not be an issue anymore. Everyone would be able to have access to our equipment, promote themselves. It would be benefiting everyone, not only the students who are interested in getting these hands-on experience, but to every student organization, as well as the Cornell community.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right, you'll get multiple options.
Okay.
Next up, the speaker is representing the side.
Thank you all for coming. I just wanted to address a couple quick points that were brought up both for and against Slow Media. So the first is autonomy. There were numerous, references to the fact that there are bigger organizations on campus, or maybe ones that are more impactful, that would be more deserving of funding, i.e. the Daily Sun and LUVR. I think the reason that those groups aren't is for autonomy. LUVR actually used to be a violent funded organization. It was actually one of the first violent funded organizations in 1948. And the Sun, if you ever pick one up at the very top, it's independent since 19 whatever. Like, they take a lot of pride in the fact that they are independent papers. Any violent funded organization that is registered with the Student Assembly has had their charter approved by us and is subject to basically our authority. Unless they have they act, I'm assuming that the violent organization has to apply. That being said, I don't think that's a relevant argument because we don't fund organizations in relation or reference compared to other organizations that exist on campus that could be funded. We reference them to other organizations that have applied. So if one of those organizations were to do the 2,000 signatures and apply for violent funded, that would then become a relevant argument. The next thing is other small groups that provide similar services. I heard some the Cornell Review being thrown out there. Those two specifically, I don't think would be appropriate just because they are part of the organization. Student activity doesn't lose the fund. Any sort of part of the group is pretty specific in the guidelines. The next is both social events and the salary, which you referenced in the previous four, not funding them. I think the appropriations committee completely agrees with you guys. Vice President has stated the $2,000 salary represents the first cut, and the extra 10 cents, as a member of the committee, I can say that many people reference those social costs as, I guess, justification for the extra 10 cents in cost that Vice President Nicolay brought up. At the end of the day, I think the issue comes down to, A, is the money being spent right after the customer recommended? I think that's a clear yes. And then does this group provide a unique need on campus that students are not getting without it? I think absolutely. When you look at the elements they provide as far as production, experience, and media, yes, one can get those elements from the Cornell Daily Sun, from DP, from WBR, from something like the Cornell Progressive. You might get that journalism aspect, but you might not get the hands-on media training. If you're another group on campus, there's nowhere to go right now to rent equipment for free if you want to do a video.
Moving on to the next representative, Representative Chopra. If you want to give a second.
We look over the budget, their funding member, and other such things, and ask
Most of it. We can add all confidential information, but everything is public on the HACCP website.
Everything that you can see on the website is exactly what the appropriation committee uses.
Moving on to the next question, because this is the executive vice president, Caitlin.
Also to address the comment now that there are two groups out there that serve a similar purpose. I was looking through Slovenia's website, and I also dealt with some of the other organizations, and I think that Slow Media does a very big service in terms of student representation on campus, a huge sort of priority of student life and student assembly. The Sun, for example, often turns down writing articles or publicizing different student organizations and different events on campus, whereas going to Slow Media is different articles, different coverage, they really cover a lot of student organizations that otherwise would not be covered otherwise. So I think they do have provide very big service to the student body in informing them about everything that's going on around campus.
I want to be continued here for a second. It says here on this budget for 2011 that for this year, for Slow Media spent $1,000. In 2009, for $2,500 for Julia, how come I don't see people wearing Slow Media shirts all over campus if they spent $1,000? I think the average t-shirt goes for about $8-$9 at PSP. If that's what they're spending their money on, where is it? Okay, I don't see it.
Can I clarify?
Yeah.
It did come out to about $7 a t-shirt, and we only spent $440 on t-shirts this coming semester. Just to show you did that yesterday. You're right, members should be wearing their t-shirts, but whether they're going to be wearing something that they, go out and buy and sell to their counselors or their H&M, that's up to them. It's only one t-shirt that they can choose to wear. I've seen them on campus that, I don't know, that's kind of a clarification. The cost, yes, it's $1,000, seems like a lot, but it was an investment, and we ended up making those shirts coming semester as well.
Just do a point of order. Just keep in mind that 2011-2012 academic year does not include the organizations with filing funding and assumes the previous financial structure with most SAAC and the new as well.
Right, next on our
speakers
list is Representative
Hayley. So, we're just looking at some of the websites you can see them. You guys do obviously want stuff as you were looking at the and I just want to emphasize that I don't think it's about organizations just making do with what they have. I think it's very important, and it's definitely how strong an organization Slow Media already is, that they are able to do so much with the amount of money they are allocated right now. However, I think it's not a good thing to say it's about making do, because I think we want to fund organizations that can allow people to explore their interests and we want to look into what organizations cross, and I don't think denying them this would run to be
a question. Is there any? All right, thank you for both on the day of the community representation. We started a lot of discussion about this, but there were
So, the Appropriations Committee on a busy day. By the way, I just want to give a shout out to the Appropriations Committee on Monday. That was a 4.5 hour meeting, and those guys are champs. Alright, so thank you guys for bearing with me. Anyway. So, the New York City Tech Campus recently became an ad hoc committee, assembly as per last meeting. And in order to fulfill their mission, in order to reach out to students, not only here at Cornell, but also to reach out to people in New York City and show that, show me your paperwork that Cornell really has a student-led initiative behind it, the committee asked for funds from the special project fund. The special project fund of the SA is mainly to further the goals of the student assembly and definitely to further the committees that we have. So the special project, so the New York City Campus ad hoc asked for $1,500 mostly to do marketing efforts, transportation down here to do filming, and additionally transportation, New York City paraphernalia for the video, web hosting for a better website, as well as marketing campaign and posters. So the committee agreed with the purpose of the fund, but felt that there was waste in $1,600, and so cut it down to $1,200 from the special projects reserve. Take away some of the overfunding in transportation in New York City, as well as the giveaway. It still leaves with a healthy budget. I'd just like to add that this budget is tentative, and as the SA, as the leadership of the SA, we're going to make sure that this is spent efficiently, and every charge is going to come through us. So this won't be spent efficiently. But I guess we're just voting on whether we want to support the New York City Tech Campus ad hoc in the amount of $1,200. The voting protocol is if you don't want to fund the 12, you want to fund another number, or you want to veto, you can overturn this by a vote. So, that's it for me.
Alright,
there's
some
things
that
we're going
to so we were unhappy with
three appeals, and that's a testament to, I think, how well the students at least appreciated the second chance ability to handle documentation. Obviously, there are other issues, but in terms of appeal, that significantly frees up the assembly's time to work on our business. So I will roll through these appeals and then we can hear this for round five. So Cornell DDR Club was first, and they wanted funding for their DDR dance pad because they felt that they added to their student organization. However, the SASC, in its guidelines, did not fund video games. And the Appropriations Committee felt that the DDR dance pads were considered video games and decided to uphold the decision the SASC not to fund them. By a vote of 0-0. Do you want to vote individually on these things, or do you want to vote all at once?
Actually, if you want to just see if there's any dissent to each of these guys,
yeah,
and then
we're
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The pads cost, well, they would have cost $619.64, and the committee felt that because you needed a video game console and a video game to play VR with these pads, it affected the video game, and therefore it's not funded.
Durable goods category, they're required to submit a form that says,
library not only does not have the book in the library, but will not purchase the book. And the group on the first try to manage the documentation did not hand it in. When the FAA informed them through email, you are not going to get sent through unless you hand in these forms at the hearing, which they said they still didn't hand the form in. And so we believe the FAA did not err by denying funding to this group if the form were not included. They claimed that it was for teaching and that they were going to write in them, and that's why they didn't go to the library. Let's see here. Small group leaders handbook development transformational communities. The IDC Bible background commentary, new Bible commentary, new Bible lectionary, love is an orientation, elevated conversation with the gay community. This is not good. Oh, no, no, yeah, I didn't mention that. It's read the way.
Okay, next up, we have the structure of the design.
Unfortunately, I was told that I wasn't able to get that documentation. And so as a result,
we had no papers, and I can really share that, and we had that initial contact with State Street, which is where we are trying to have our concert on September 7th. Initially, it was a strange circumstances which we were unable to share with you previously.
Can you
just
mention
that
question for you? Can you clarify how that
works?
Can you
impede
your ability to get
documentation? Correct. So, as we all know, we're all working, and I understand that, you know, oftentimes we do get overwhelmed. So fortunately, with poor planning, as that resulted, I was able to. I had some documents on me, but I wasn't able to get all. And so, I will admit that yes, that was poor planning on my behalf.
How much
are you asking for? We're asking for the difference in order to reach that gap, which I believe is $1,985.
This is another question. From my own understanding, there was a timing issue between the documentation and the street
theater.
And that's also
been
there. Can you just explain
that? Yes. So once we were on the so post-hearing, once we had heard that we would have to go through the appeal process, we realized that we wanted to get further documentation, and so that was the time. Before we could have that second hearing, we further went to State Street in order to get that documentation so they could have a logo so they could see that there was an initial intent in the event that such a bill was not sufficient.
How much
money
were
you
allocated?
Did you receive from the entity? $750.
Sorry, I just to ask directly, is there
your situation that would have made it possible for you to have the required documentation by the hearing date? Like, was that a possible scenario?
I would say no. If it was in the letter, that we would have had to have two words to confirm that.
But if you had asked earlier, would you have been able to get the letter?
So earlier, that would be asked on November 7th, and I would say from that timeline, I would say no. I can't say because I was the actual individual having the exchange with Dan, he's the first person that we spoke with that same thing later, but from my understanding and the knowledge that I would have to say yes.
So it's September 7th, the first day that you would have asked for the materials?
The first September 7th was the first day that we asked to see if the date was available, what we would have to do in order to secure the date.
Okay, so if that all is true and it was feasible for her to have a part of documentation by the date of application, still does not make the group eligible for funding under the allocated budget. That would make her eligible for a special project request under the SKC, which
okay.
Means that if information is not viable by the allocation deadline, you can apply after the date.
Okay.
And you would receive the same amount of funding. But based on what you just said, I stand by the appropriate decision that the SKC did not bear.
Okay, thank you. So that's a really good point,
because
I was actually never going to have to say
I have to say, I
have
to give them before. Adam, can you just talk really quickly about the special project fund?
No.
No. As a standing now, I'm going to apply for special project, which is a pool of money that the SASC pulls out of a normal application fund pool for special projects which are reserved for organizations that apply that either want to do an event that they could not have foreseen is occurring, or there wasn't enough information to apply before the deadline to that. Or if you only got administrative funding and you want to add to your budget. So a classic example of this is if a sports team makes the national championship, the applicant didn't know they were going to be doing that when the application deadline occurred, but now they have this new information so they can apply for a special project. So if this group felt that they could not feasibly get the documentation in time, then they would qualify for a special project. So a special project through the FASC is decided by the FASC board and is not going to be done in this room. So while that's a possibility, don't think about your decision with respect to a special project. Just your decision whether the FASC erred or not. Both respects the documentation. documentation was missing, and that was the same reason why the FAA decided not to fund.
All right, that's the end of our
speech.
Is there anyone
who would
like to
speak? Is there anyone stopping the discussion or from applying for that?
So basically, we're going to vote, which there has been an emotion, but to say there was a vote, there's been a couple questions. Is there a second? Is there any sense? All right, so how this will work is we are just voting if we think the FAA should be here. Appropriators committee does not think that they're here. But this does not mean that that board, that, you know, stands on some level. It's not a special project because they didn't see that at one point or another. That would be the exact same amount of money. So yeah, that would mean that we are upholding that the ethics and do not care. And no vote means that we can make that ethics care and that they deserve the funding that they're because of what that is just. So you're just looking at the FAA rationale. So if we are going to go, we're going to go for a placard vote. So once again, yes is no money. No means that yes. All right. So, but there are other ways to get money besides. Okay. So those that are in favor of upholding FDFC, So, Representative,
second.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Representative Dolman and Rob Callahan, the chair of the subcommittee. So we actually did, it wasn't included in the packet. Adam is pulling it up right now on the computer. That is my reminder of work. So just to give you like background, I'm going to pull this up right now. Did you send it out? You just want to talk for a minute about how the committee is going and why there hasn't been an SA member since the one-minute.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rob. I'm the student board chair of the subcommittee, and what we're doing right now is I'm class of 2014. We, right now, on the subcommittee, are planning our first semester events and preparing our bottom funding application. What that means is, as soon as a hard date is set to the opening of the campus hub, it should be next semester, hopefully the first weekend after the start of classes, and we will have a full litany of programming covering the entire semester until slope day. Obviously, we probably won't be doing anything on slope day except for going to be at home sleeping by the time the hub is open. But we, just for an example, we have already planned to incorporate Guilty Gorgeous into the pub space. We will be hosting a Mardi Gras party in the pub, a Valentine's Day dance, Zinc Night, things like that. Just LGBTQ in Haven, as well as Greek events. I will be meeting with Natalie and associate students at Adgar to determine how the recognition policy communication affects the affects Greek programming in the pub concerning both social events and philanthropy events. And then we also have a memorandum that we submitted and a resolution we submitted. The memorandum is just explaining rationale behind why we think a pub is still necessary. And then the resolution is to help meet dining concerns that if the pub isn't profitable, what we will do to help that as a student body.
The general idea about that is that Cornell Dining just can't be in the red on this, and this is kind of a protective means for that.
So everyone knows, this resolution 20 is wasn't in the agenda. Just a reminder, it's been echoed in the last quarter, so that it won't get lost in my email. So this is right. Even if you have an executive resolution 20 on the board.
College alcohol. And remember, it's beer and wine, so we're not talking like fancy cocktails.
Another thing the subcommittee is currently working on is organizing drink specials, whether they would be funded by the subcommittee or by dining, just as a way to get people into the door. Because if someone's like, oh, I'm on Central, 8 o'clock on Wednesday, I can go get $2 pints, they're more likely to do that and have a pint of dinner than to go all the way to Steamtown and to eat somewhere else. So things like that, along a way of just bringing people in during time periods where they are in the area and the pub is open, in a way of drawing them in.
Just a point of information, student activity cannot be used towards anything alcohol related, so just keep that in mind when you're thinking about doing special.
Have you guys considered putting a cap on this? I feel like a lot of us are comfortable voting for anything in cap.
On this, on Resolution 20, it's not even a question. We discussed this, and what we just said was it had to be a significant deficit for the state to matter. So our point was that dining would have to be so much in the red just on the pub that it affects their overall operating budget. Because right now, for example, Goldie's in Fiscal Sciences is making boatloads of money. And that more than makes up the amount of money that we're losing, say, Rusty's in Europe. So because of that discrepancy, it has to have the effect of that overall. And it's really up to the student assembly in 2 years or 3 years that we have to consider this. So it's really, no one at the table except for the professional staff will be here to understand what the circumstances are.
And that's another thing we want to say, because that's not the rest of the day. It is a recognition of the judge all over. And it's the other language, but pretty much that has worked out English that was strong enough that it became that we would consider donating funds. We didn't want to attack, we didn't want to put a minimum, we didn't want to put teaching professors in that position, but this is just a fact for them to put their own position.
Can we also protect ourselves by noting that it has to be the pub specifically, because it's connected to Ivy Room, so it's not, even if theoretically something freak were to happen in Ivy Room, were to experience like financial damage, not gonna fall, but like if there was a loss in the Ivy Room, we're talking explicitly about the pub, and if the pub was a drain.
I always look at the language and it says strongly considered, so that doesn't hold us to anything. That's it.
This was a reflection of the administration. So it's a working relationship between us and the administration.
I think the general, I mean, besides that, it's also general sentiment that we are supporting this pub, and that's something that we as a future athlete would stand behind and allow to continue if something were to happen economically.
Great. Is there anyone before we go to the second speaker, is there anyone else who would like to take a part in? All right, Representative Biden.
Does the administration feel that this is strong enough to say on our part to hold on their own work?
They were just asking for some proposal for the future, which I think is commendable, and they could put the restrictions or expectations on it. So this is what we came up with. All right, seeing none, we can close out the meeting. We do actually have 5 minutes left, and we have one more thing to get to really quickly. I promise we'll end up back there at 30 of the Roman area. And we'll have a quick presentation. If we don't get through the whole thing, you'll send it out. I'll make sure that I'm
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.